Yeah, so we'll start in Isaiah chapter 24, okay? And the 24th chapter of Isaiah is really talking about tribulation. So let's take the few verses in Isaiah, and then we'll look in the New Testament, other places, to see where it compares. Behold, Isaiah 24, verse 1. Behold, the Lord maketh the earth empty, and maketh it waste, and turneth it upside down, and scattereth abroad the inhabitants thereof. My goodness, that doesn't sound good, does it? The Lord's going to empty the earth. Now, this is, of course, an extreme view. The Lord isn't going to totally empty, okay, the earth. He never has. He's given His word that the earth remaineth forever, okay? And God has never completely wiped out, as far as we know, all the people of the earth. I say as far as we know. I don't know what happened before Adam and Eve, if there was anything or if there wasn't anything. That's not for us to know. But He says He's going to empty and turn it upside down. Now, this turning upside down, the phrase here in the margin here says distorts its surface. That God has done before. And remember, it's also a figure of speech. Because remember, they accused Paul one time in the book of Acts. These are the men that turned the, how did they say? That turned the earth upside down? Turned the world upside down. Well, the problem is the world was upside down and they were trying to turn it the right side up. And if you're used to hanging by your feet and somebody comes in and turns things the other way around, you think that they've upset things and turned it upside down. All right, so maybe the Lord's turning the earth upside down means He's going to turn it the right way. And it shall be as with the people, so with the priest, as with the servant, so with his master, as with the maid, so with her mistress, as with the buyer, so with the seller, as with the lender, so with the borrow, as with the taker of usury, so with the giver of usury to him. All right? Now, in other words, what God is saying here is that nobody's going to be spared. It doesn't matter how well prepared you are, how well your retirement plan is, your 401k, your savings account, your resources, whatever. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how high and mighty you are in the religious system. It says here that the very first one, as with the people, so with the priest. In other words, what is going to affect one is going to affect another. There is no man that is going to be able to completely escape what God is going to be doing. Now, that is not to say that God cannot give us immunity from it. Okay? The sons of God, the two witness company, there is going to be an immunity. But nevertheless, it's going to happen in the earth, and it's going to be the same earth that we are living and walking in, that this is going to happen to. He mentions the last few here, the buyer, the seller, the lender, the borrower, the one lending for interest, the one taking money for interest. He's talking about the economy here. So it isn't just the poor people that have loans from the bank. He says the banks are going to be in trouble too. Okay? It's going to hit them as hard as the borrower. This is very interesting. I never noticed this in Isaiah. Okay, the land shall be utterly emptied and utterly spoiled, for the Lord has spoken His word. What's that word spoiled mean? It means plundered. Have you seen, you've been around a TV, I'm sure, when there's news sometimes. I mean,
it's going to be all in, you know. We know this already. I hate to say it.
Yeah.
Everybody knows
Yeah. We have... I don't have a functioning TV that functions to pick up channels and what have you, cable, what have you. It's only there to play a video. But we come to places where we see, like in the airports, we see the TVs going, and you see the pictures where there's these disasters. There's floods, there's hurricanes, there's fires, there's riots. And what happens is when man gets a chance, he goes and he plunders.
Yes.
And yes. They break windows, they rob, they grab big screen TVs and run across the street, and they think they're really getting away with a big prize, you know. And they grab things like that. And what this verse is saying is that the earth is going to be plundered. All right? In other words, it isn't going to just be some particular section. What was it? Watts section of Los Angeles. There were certain sections of Detroit during the riots of the 70s. Remember those days?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. There was a New Jersey, Patterson, Newark, New Jersey, just broke out in terrible riots. You didn't want to drive through there at all.
You know, you remember that the Lord had me go through Hurricane Sandy with my mother.
Yeah.
Now, this is what the Lord showed me. Now, I saw the destruction come in, and the Lord put my mother to sleep at 7 o'clock at night. And the Lord gave me a very odd stuff. You can turn that off if you want to. But
sorry.
I got to tell you this, because the Lord's quickening me to tell you both. I know, from Jesus, what you just said, that it's not something of man, but the disasters that they plunder. It's a very terrible thing, but that's what they do.
Mm-hmm.
Especially non-Christians. And God, I hate to say it, but in the last days, you'll be shocked to see people who say they belong to Jesus do that too, which is very unfortunate, instead of help each other. But this is what happened to me. In our building section, there's a lot of born-again people, of elderly Irish Catholics who really love the Lord, and they were praying on their knees. And in our section, all around, Rockaway is like an island, it's a peninsula.
Mm-hmm.
All around Rockaway, there was the normal plundering. But in the area where we live, right in the middle, in that section, several buildings, a couple of streets, everybody worked together. Everybody helped one another. Everybody. The churches who didn't say, they're not allowed to say that in New York City is very repressed. The churches came, temples came, people helped people, doctors who lost everything came up looking at people needing medicine, people helped. And there's a little 80-year-old prayer warrior right across the way from my mother, and she's a born-again Catholic lady. She's born again. And she said, like this in her accent, she said, the Lord didn't want to take us because he knew there was too many of us in the building. Our buildings were the only ones that weren't destroyed, and we don't know where they came from. For a whole month, there was no electric power in Rockaway. In our three buildings, in 2 weeks' time, some group came and dug up the bottom and put in all wires, and we had electric and we had power, and nobody plundered except one person. There's three in the building complex, and I knew that was not normal, and that told me to be on my desk. Well, actually, the little Irish lady, before it happened, she said, you have to be on your knees praying to the Lord. And so, because that's not normal, that people shouldn't destroy one another and take. And that happened all around Rockaway. Everybody else got plundered and everything, except where I was.
Amen.
And we didn't have any protection at all. I saw everything go up in fire, and I knew, I said to the Lord, I mean, I thought I was going to sit down and pray, but I was in such trauma seeing what happened. The water coming in like a tsunami, and that water, the boardwalk right across the street, the concrete, the power of the storm, the concrete was ripped up. Now, what was to stop that from ripping up the buildings, the three buildings that my mom's that my mom is in.
Amen.
But our buildings were not touched. And the little center is on the first floor. Just a little bit of sand came in. Every building in every other area was completely demolished. And when they tried to say, when I was in that center, oh, well, this block did that block, you know, I was saying, oh, no, there's a God in heaven. That I said, that's ridiculous. How do you, you know, that the concrete pieces of street and boardwalk for 8 miles were totally ripped up with benches on them, but nobody looted.
Amen.
Nobody. Everybody helped everybody.
Amen. So verse 4, it says, the earth mourneth and fadeth away. The world languisheth and fadeth away. The haughty people of the earth do languish. Who are the haughty people?
Oh, plenty of them.
The haughty are the proud. Okay? This is going to deal with pride. What's coming is going to deal with pride. I tell you, you have to study the little tribulations. When I say the little tribulations, by comparison to what's coming, these little tribulations, let's talk about, say, Europe, World War II. You say, oh, well, that was terrible. Yes, it was terrible. But you know what? It didn't affect the whole earth.
Yeah.
America was not hit by that. Oh, yeah, we had some troubles. But we didn't have concentration camps. We didn't have German SS soldiers banging on doors and ripping people out of their houses and hauling them off. No, we didn't have that.
But
yes.
No, real Christians prayed.
That was terrible.
Otherwise,
and
forget it.
We could talk about what was happening in Russia under Stalin. Oh, that was terrible. Absolutely terrible. I cannot imagine a worse nation than what happened to them, and the people were involved in it.
Yep.
They were involved in it, killing one another. The haughty people. God is going to deal with that. The earth also, verse 5, is defiled under the inhabitants thereof, because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, broken the everlasting covenant. Listen to this. What is happening to the earth is because the people have violated God. Okay, maybe California is no worse than New York. Okay? They have their particular brand of tribulation. We have, you know, God has special things designed for New York. I'm wondering about this weather that we've been getting lately in New York. This is designed for New York, okay? Mudslides for California, fires, what have you. What laws have they broken? I mean, are we worse? Are we worse than the people in the 1800s?
Yes.
In a way we are, in a way we're not. Yeah, okay. They enslaved men in the 1800s. God had to deal with that. What's happening today? Where is it? Where did I read it? In the paper? No, I saw it on the screen of the computer. Some place, is it Australia that just legalized?
Yes, I think so.
Was it Australia? Legalized gay marriage?
I think it was in the Time magazine.
Maybe it was the Time magazine. They made the law on a certain date in December and made it effective at midnight on a certain day in January, and all these gay couples all gathered together to celebrate their mass marriage to one another. This has got to be grievous to God. This is a destruction of the purpose of God. He made them male and female. Now, I read there's in the... Is it Maryland? Maryland, I think it is. A transgender is going to try to run for Congress. And it's one, they committed crimes against America by releasing confidential secrets.
Wow.
And Barack Obama not pardoned. What's the other term? anyway, made them, took away their crime. There was no punishment of this person. I don't know what they are, whether they're a man or a woman. They don't seem to know what they are, but they're going to run for Congress now, and they think that this kind of thing needs to be represented now in our government. God help us. You know what? They might win. It's horrible.
Can I just say one little sentence?
Yeah.
I hope it's not being recorded.
It is. Well, here, hold on.
Yeah.
So let me go on to the next verse. It says, so verse 5, the earth is defiled. Verse 6, therefore hath the curse devoured the earth, and they that dwell therein are desolate. Therefore the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few men left. Desolate. And the interesting thing, the meaning of this word desolate is held guilty.
Mm-hmm.
So what the prophet Isaiah is saying by the Spirit of God is that when men begin to break the laws of God, okay? Now, there's been sin, there's been wickedness forever. I mean, from the time of the Garden of Eden, there's been sin. But we're bringing in sins now, and we're legalizing them.
That's right.
In such a manner that, I'm telling you, it's going to bring a curse in. I was reading, I read the book of Judges, okay, very interesting. Judges is a time when Israel had no king. And the last part of Judges, this is after Gideon, after, some of these other judges, that the last part of Judges is that there was a man, I believe he was from Judah, who had a wife. At one point they call her a concubine, another place they call her a wife.
I know that story.
She ran off, she played the harlot, he went back to her home, and he got her back, okay? And her father kept wanting him to stay. Stay another day. Oh, stay another day. Oh, stay another day. Oh, don't be in a hurry to go. Finally, he got away about noon, but he didn't have time to get to his destination. So he went into one of the cities of Benjamin. He thought, well, it'd be safe here. And an old man came along and found him in the street, and he said, you can't stay in the street here. You've got to come into my house. It isn't safe in the street. Now, these are God's people. For crying out loud, these are God's people. And the same thing happened to that man that happened to Lot and the angels in Sodom. And I'm talking about the judgment of God, okay? The dealing of God is, I find it a mystery. I still find it a mystery, the ways of God.
Of course.
You say, of course.
He's God.
Yes, of course he's God, but it defies.
Of course.
Okay, let me tell you why it defies, okay? So, they wanted to take the man, and the owner of the house said, no, he's my guest.
Oh, my gosh.
But they put the woman out. And I think he might have had a daughter that he put out with her. I forget the details. And again, I cannot comprehend people treating a woman like this.
I know.
Even the husband, I cannot comprehend dealing with her like this. That a man should give his own life to cover her and protect her, but they didn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so they let her out, and the men abused her all night long. All night long. These are Benjamites. I mean, Paul was from the tribe of Benjamin. So the next morning, he opens the door, he goes to go, and there she's laying on the threshold, dead. So he packed her up, took her on his mule, took her home, cut her body to pieces, and sent it all through Israel with a warning. And of course, it got everybody's attention. I mean, 12 pieces of the woman in 12 tribes, what is this all about? And people came from these tribes, said, what is your problem? What is going on? And he told them what had happened in Benjamin. Well, they gathered the troops together, and they went against Ben. They went to the city, just to the city where these men were, and they said, okay, give us these vile men. They're to be put to death.
Absolutely.
And we'll leave the rest of you alone. And you know what? The city would not give them these criminals. And so the people all gathered together, and they said, Lord, shall we go up against Benjamin? And the Lord said, yes, go against them. And the Benjaminites whooped them, killed thousands of them. They went to the Lord again. Should we go up against Benjamin? And the Lord said, yes. And they went against Benjamin, and they came out of the city, and they decimated the other Israelites again. And they went to the Lord again, weeping and crying and fasting and praying, God, what shall we do? You said go against them, and they're killing us. They're killing thousands of us. I'm talking thousands. And the Lord said, yes, go again. This time you're going to win.
Wow.
But there was a strategy. All right, they sent some of them to hide in near the city. They drew them out of the city, and the Benjamites said, oh, we're going to kill them down like we did before. Well, a couple of them died this last time. But then they went into the city, they set the city on fire, and they just almost completely wiped out the whole tribe of Benjamin. I mean, men, women, children, everybody. And all was left was several hundred. I forget, 400, 700, something like that. And but I'm thinking, why did they have to die in this?
Yeah.
What? See, this is the mystery. What is God doing? God had to be doing something in the rest of Israel too. Those men, those other men that died, there had to be a cleansing that God was doing that I don't understand. And then, of course, they had to, I'm telling a story, I know. They had to say, well, we've wiped out the tribe of Benjamin. We can't have only 11 tribes. What are we going to do? And then they found that one little sub tribe, part of a tribe, well, they didn't make the vow that they wouldn't give their daughters to the Benjamites. So, okay, there were a couple hundred there, but there still weren't enough. So they said, okay, we're going to have a big party. Let the girls from such and such come out and dance. And then the Benjamites that were hidden in this stronghold, they said, okay, you can come out now and you can grab the little maidens that are dancing and you can have your wives. So that's how the tribe of Benjamin got restored. But what happened, why did this horrible thing have to happen, is because they had violated the laws of God. And they were, obviously, they were not preaching the law of Moses anymore in these days. Oh, I tell you, what God allowed, and the dealing and the judgment that God had to bring time and time and time again. And are we immune in our day?
No,
no. No, we're not. Because something is coming in our day. All right, so I've read the... my goodness. I've only read 6 verses, but I want to go to Matthew 24, because I want to see a confirmation of what is being said here in Matthew. And we'll look in both Matthew and Luke. But let me look in Matthew 24. Matthew is really easy to find. almost opens automatically to the 24th chapter. It's where I always go. Okay. Just one verse here. Matthew 24, 21. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Now, I'm talking about times of tribulation. We're talking about a whole tribe being wiped out. That's tribulation. You talk about the things David had to go through with Saul. Evil, wicked, mentally deranged Saul. Schizophrenic, paranoid schizophrenic, whatever he was. Leading a nation.
Yeah.
Persecuting the righteous. The wars that we know in our recent generations. Read this first part of Matthew 24. Nation, rise against nation. Famines, pestilence, earthquakes. You could add fires, mudslides. I mean, sometimes I get the impression that the whole state of California is on fire sometimes. And you know what the mudslides came from? Because of the fires. And you know why? I'm just going to stick my neck out. You know why they have the kind of fires they have? Because of their ecology ideas that they can't cut a tree. It's all sacred. If they let some lumbermen go in there and clean out some of that stuff once in a while, they wouldn't get the fires that they get. But oh no, it's sacred. Can't touch it. I'm sorry. I'm off the rocker. They're violating the laws of God. These resources are here for us. God put them here for man. And they're trying to put them out of touch for man and saying that no, it's not right. We're making global warming. We're turning... No, it is God that is turning the earth upside down. It is not man. It is not burning fossil fuels. It is not anything that man is doing except man's sin. If you want to go against man's sin, yeah, make a campaign on that. But not burning our little fossil fuel. God designed an earth that is able, well able, to take care of what little bit we need to keep warm and run our business. No, I'm not in favor of raping the land or polluting. No, I'm not in favor of that at all. And I know that man has done terrible, terrible things. In the name of trying to make a big profit because he's trying to cut corners. I'm not in favor of that. Amen. But it's the laws. Okay, let me go down in chapter 24 to verse 8. I'm going to skip over this about the wine and the tabrets. Okay, verse 8. The mirth of tabrets ceaseth, the noise of them that rejoice endeth, the joy of the harp ceaseth. What is this all about? What are the tabrets?
You're back in Isaiah.
I'm in Isaiah. Yeah, I'm 24. I'm sorry. No, I left Matthew 24 a long time ago. So many verses in Matthew 24.
They're tambourines.
Yeah, they're tambourines. Tambourines. What's he talking about? Tambourines and the harp. He's talking about people rejoicing and praising.
Oh, yeah.
That's what he's talking about. People used to take these tambourines and they would dance with them and they would play their little harps as they were. These are not great big clunky old harps that weigh 200 pounds, you know, like pianos. No, this is not what we're talking about. These are the kind of praises that David got into when they were moving the ark into Jerusalem. Amen? And you know, it wasn't just when they moved the ark. It was the other time that they moved the ark before Uzzah and his brother were moving the ark and Uzzah got killed. David was dancing and praising there at that time too. You know that Uzzah was a priest? Did you know that? It was
the ark had been at his father's house. And he and his brother were designated to move it, and they didn't move it the way God asked that it be moved.
They moved it the Philistine way. Yeah, okay. So, what he's saying here is that the rejoicing and praise is over when this tribulation comes. Men's hearts are not going to be happy anymore for a season. It says, they shall not drink wine with a song. Amen? Hallelujah. Strong drink shall be bitter to them that drink it. The city of confusion is broken down. Every house is shut up that no man may come in. Have you ever seen a situation like that? The place is a ghost town, in other words. Everybody shut their door. Doors are all... But that's what people do when they're expecting a hurricane, don't they? They get these great big pieces of plywood, get the screw guns out, screw the plywood over the doors, the windows, and the place is of a ghost town.
Sandy, a whole lot of people were gone.
Yeah.
A lot of people left.
Yeah.
And it was like a ghost town.
Yeah, that's what Isaiah is describing here.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to live in those houses. They're going to be destroyed. Get out of town now.
Yeah.
The Florida Keys.
Yeah.
The same thing. Amen. There is a crying for wine in the streets. What that means is wine is the equivalent of joy and rejoicing. Okay, it's a figure of speech, a type. Okay, men were to drink wine when they were happy. You know, there is a crying for wine in the streets. All joy is darkened. The mirth of the land is gone. It sounds like there's been riots in the street, doesn't it? In the city is left desolation, and the gate is smitten with destruction. When thus it shall be in the midst of the land among the people, there shall be as a shaking of an olive tree, and as the gleaning grapes when the vintage is done. Do you understand what this... I don't know if you've ever lived around olive trees. I haven't. But what happens is they would shake the tree. Now, Brother Bert, in the days when I first met him, he had... I don't know whether it was his farm or whether he was managing his father's farm or what. They had almond orchards. And they... At the end of the harvest, or when the harvest of the almonds came, they couldn't get them all off the trees. They would come in with this machine that would set, that it would reach out and grab a hold of the tree. Have you ever heard of these machines? It would put something around the tree, clasp onto it, and then this thing would shake. Like you couldn't believe. It would shake all the nuts off the tree. So he's saying here that this is what's going to be the land among the people shall be as the shaking of an olive tree or the shaking of an almond tree. Okay? That's a lot of shaking, isn't it? Do you enjoy being shaken?
Of course not, but the Lord is the Lord.
I don't enjoy it either. I like my life peaceful, steady, predictable, pretty much so. But when things begin to happen, when things begin to go wrong, you get shaken, don't you? You know, I got thinking the other day, when you think about, say, well, we're going to be prepared for tribulation. We're going to be prepared when no man can buy or sell. You know, I'm thinking to myself that this is absolutely impossible. Do you know why?
Of course.
Because...
It's too much.
No, let me tell you why. Because in the process of your house, there's always something breaking. Have you noticed that? Your car. Little something. Now, my house isn't that old. I mean, the things in my house are fairly recent. They shouldn't all be breaking. But there are times when every week I have to go to the hardware store and buy some little piece of little thing here, little screw, little something that I can't possibly keep all these things. And there's always some little thing that I need. And I thought to myself, well, how in the world can anybody anticipate everything they're possibly going to need that's possibly going to break when you can't buy or sell? And you're going to say, well, I'm going to be prepared because I'm going to have it all. I don't think it's possible. I just don't think it's possible without the Lord.
The way you'll be prepared is on your knees.
There's no way in the natural is what I'm saying. The spiritual way is the only way. Now let me go over to Luke here for a minute, because Luke has got some things to say that I think we should hear. Luke chapter 21. Okay, Luke 21 is the equivalent. We can turn there if you'd like. Is the equivalent of Matthew 24. Okay? Luke 21, verse 12. Okay? But before all these... All right, let me go back to verse... Oh, my goodness. See, this is the same thing as chapter 24. That's why I didn't read it all. Let me start in verse 8. And he said, take heed that ye be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and the time draweth near, go ye not therefore after them. This is, you know, the church is going after them. They are. You don't have to say, I'm Jesus Christ. The word Christ means, I'm the anointed one. I'm the thing that God is doing in this hour. This man in Florida, a few years back. The churches all around were going after this fellow. This is the anointing. And you know, what was the man doing? All he was doing was praying for, quote unquote, lay hands on people and knocking them over. And they said, this is the anointing, this is the unction. It wasn't. The man fell into sin within a week or two. And that was the end of it. But when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass. Must first come to pass, brethren. Boy, as I studied the history of the last few hundred years, they sure have come to pass. Amen? But the end is not by and by. What's that mean? The end is not yet by. Is not coming immediately. Then said he unto them, nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and great earthquakes shall be in diverse places, and famines and pestilence, and fearful sights and great signs shall there be from heaven. Well, I would say great forest fires and great mudslides and great hurricanes and great tornadoes.
This could all fall under great shakings.
Yeah, this is all great shakings.
Earthquake is a shaking.
It is. An earthquake is a literal shaking. But these other things shake men too, don't they? So let me go on. But before all these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues. See, that's the churches. The churches are going to do it. The kingdoms of churches, into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake, and it shall turn to you for a testimony. Amen. Settle it therefore in your hearts not to meditate before what ye shall answer. Now, let me go down to verse Let's start in 25. And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth, distress of nations and perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Isn't that what you saw down there?
Yeah, it was terrible.
Distress of the sea, the waves roaring. Now that's natural. But let's talk about the spiritual. What does it spiritually mean when it talks about the sea and the waves roaring? It's talking about riots. It's talking about people marching in streets and demonstrating and then looting and then killing police. Yes. And then saying they're going to have an insurrection and then saying that they're going to throw the rulers out and they're going to upset this and upset that. That's what he's talking about. Amen. Where did I finish? Okay. Men's hearts failing them for fear. This is shaking. And for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. What does that mean? The powers of heaven shall be shaken. I mean, is God's throne going to be shaken? No, of course not. What else is involved in heaven besides the throne of God? That's where Satan has been. I saw another sign in heaven, and this red dragon was before the woman, waiting to devour the man-child. This is a sign he saw in heaven. What heaven? What does that mean? It means a spiritual realm. The spiritual realms are going to be shaken. Thank God. The spirit powers that are controlling this earth, the spirit powers that are in charge of these governments, of these nations, amen, including our government. Yes, spiritual powers, our state government, what have you, ruled by spiritual powers, demons that are involved in these people. Every week, what's the term? A new somebody in government being caught in some corruption. Every week.
Much more than that.
Every week. Maybe every day, if there were enough of them. Another one was just caught down in Bronx or somewhere, down in that area. All right. Finally, let me go to verse 35. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged. Amen? What's that mean, overcharged? It means weighed down. With surfeiting. Surfeiting is carousing. Okay? And drunkenness, and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come upon all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all those things that shall come to pass and stand before the Son of Man. So it's saying what's coming is going to come suddenly, unexpectedly. By the way, did you hear what happened yesterday or last night in Hawaii?
No.
Oh, you didn't hear that?
No.
Oh, it's making the news. Every hour the news comes on. Somebody that's in charge of making the warnings for civil, what do you call it? Civil defense. We were talking last week about the blowing of the sirens, or the sounding of the trumpet, you know, is the equivalent, the wailing of the sirens. Do any of you remember them? Rita does, because she lived in the Midwest there where they had tornadoes. And I can remember faintly, but I don't remember where, when these sirens in the fire halls would start up and they would just scream and wail and wail and wail. I don't know whether they were disaster alerts or what was going on. But what happened in Hawaii is there was some kind of alert that went out to all the citizens that said there was a missile coming. And it is so real because this guy in North Korea definitely has the power to strike Hawaii with his missiles, nuclear missiles. And the people of Hawaii are very, very upset. And it was an error that was made. Somebody pressed a button somewhere when, during the change of shift, and sent off this alert in, before they even realized what had happened. And now the people of Hawaii are saying, we need shelters. We need shelters.
They well, maybe, had so many minutes to prepare.
Yeah, it said you... Hit. How many minutes? You have 26 minutes to prepare, and a missile is going to lay it with a nuke. Yeah, 26 minutes. I mean, if you heard that alert and you said, I have 26 minutes to get somewhere, you know, I'm...
Get all your supplies.
Maybe this is an accident, but maybe this is the hand of God saying, listen, you need to take heed. You need to be prepared. And I'm not just talking about being naturally prepared. These kind of things, God can use them to prepare our hearts spiritually. How many people in Hawaii that heard that thought, oh my God, I need to get right with God. I've got 26 minutes to get right with God. We're all going to be nuked.
I hate to say it, I don't think many.
No, but you know what? There might have been a few.
Go through that, yeah.
Somebody. Somebody might have. You know, there was a man that met Seth one time. Do you remember the story? That was living an unrighteous life. And he was warned and said, you need to get right with God. And the man boasted. He said, if I have 1 minute, I can get right with God. And you know, something happened. Just like that. And he could not get right with God, and he died. Oh, you can't count on it. All right, let me go back. And boy, we're not getting very far in Isaiah, but I like Isaiah. We'll do chapter 24, and then the next time we come, we'll do 25 and 26. All right, let me go back to Isaiah 24, and I want to go down to verse 18. No. All right, I'll do verse 18. Yeah, we can do verse 18. It shall come to pass that he who fleeth from the noise of the fear... See, this is the noise of the fear that we've just been talking about. The wailing of the siren, the warning that you've got 26 minutes and a missile is going to land, okay? He that flees from the noise of the fear shall fall into the pit. Okay? In other words... Men are trying to escape, what I'm saying. Men want to escape in their natural ways of thinking. So I've got this figured out. Oops, I forgot about the pit. So he falls into a pit. He that cometh up out of the midst of the pit shall be taken in the snare. For the windows from on high are open, and the foundations of the earth do shake. What does that mean? The windows from on high are open. Where did we ever see a phrase like that in the Bible?
John.
No.
Stephen.
Well, Stephen saw it, but Stephen didn't see it in judgment. See, Stephen was seeing heaven. He was seeing something good. But go back to Genesis chapter 7, and you'll find the windows on high opened up, and it wasn't good. Chapter 7, verse 11 in Genesis. Let's go back and read it. Yeah, so let me just read a little bit of this in chapter 7. We got a minute here to read it. Chapter 7. And the Lord said to Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, For thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Now, by the way, this does apply to what Isaiah is saying. Because there are people that God is going to call into his place of shelter. And he's going to say, I've seen you righteous. Alright? So, we need to make sure that our righteousness is seen before God. He's the one that's going to be taking care of us. Okay? Of every clean beast, etc. I'll skip over that down to verse 4. For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth, 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. So, the warning in Hawaii, 26 minutes, 20, I forget what the number was. It was number of minutes. God is saying the same thing to Moses. He's not saying minutes. He's saying, not Moses, I meant Noah. He's saying 7 days. All right? It's going to happen. The windows are going to be opened up in 7 days. Destruction is coming. Warning, warning, warning. What we've read in Matthew and what we've read in Luke and what we've read in Isaiah is something is coming without warning. Okay, how much warning? I don't know, but not very much at all. All right. It says that Noah went in. And Noah was 600 years when the floodwaters were upon earth. And Noah went in, and his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives with him into the ark because of the waters of the flood. I'm going to skip down here a little bit in verse 10. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth. And in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month. Boy, this is very exact, isn't it? This is very precise. You know, God gives these numbers for a reason. He really does. Amen? The same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened. Now Isaiah must have known, the Holy Spirit must have known what was said in Genesis. Because he's saying the same thing here in verse 8. Okay, or in verse 18. Yeah. The foundations of the earth do shake. Well, what foundations? What is the earth founded on? And again, he's talking about a shaking, an earthquaking. Amen? The quake. By the way, what does earth mean spiritually? Earth means carnality, doesn't it? The carnal realm, your carnal realm, my carnal realm, everybody else's carnal realm, everybody's natural realm is going to be shaken. And the spiritual realms as well. Okay? Now, the earth is utterly broken down. The earth is clean dissolved. The earth is moved exceedingly. Let me define these. Violently. The earth is violently broken. Clean dissolved means split open. Amen? Moved exceedingly means shaken. Verse 20, the earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard. Well, let me just stop there for a minute. If the earth reels to and fro like a drunkard, what happens?
The normal axis that it's on.
It's on an axis.
Yeah.
23 and a half degrees. It happens to be the axis of the tilt. The tilt of the earth, 23 and a half. Okay, so here's 90. Here's 45. About halfway to 45. That's the way the tilt. Now, did you know that the earth has been moved? Since creation? Oh, yes. The magnetic North Pole, magnetic is when the earth was formed. It's not where the axis is anymore. The spinning part of the actual North Pole now is moved, I don't know, it's miles, I don't know. When the first explorer went and said he found the North Pole, he found the magnetic North Pole, but he didn't find the real present-day North Pole. What happened to cause that to happen? Did that happen during the flood of Noah? What happened to suddenly change the atmosphere of the earth from when, at one time, the description of the Garden of Eden is like we were living in a, what do they call it, a greenhouse effect.
The atom bomb.
Did God move it and change it? What happened to bring in all that ice age? Was it the moving? Now, if what Isaiah is saying is absolutely literally true, see, this could be spiritual, but it could be literal too, that something again is going to move the earth. And the earth wobbles like it's drunk. But I see, you know, let's look at the spiritual side of this thing, okay? The earth reels to and fro like a drunkard and shall be removed like a cottage. Now, this cottage is these little houses that people build in Europe. I don't think they do it so much here in America. You go through Europe, the Czech Republic, especially, where the people live in the country, they have these little gardens out there. And they have a little tiny, we'd call it a tool shed out there, where they keep their garden tools. And they lock it up, and then they come out. They don't have to bring everything from wherever. These are very flimsily built little shacks, shall we say. And they're not going to hold up to much of a storm or anything like that. So he says here, it shall be removed like a cottage. It isn't going to take much of a wind or a shaking at all to remove that. And the transgression thereof shall be heavy upon it, and it shall fall and not rise again. The whole purpose here is not a natural thing. It's because of transgression. It's because of what man has done in his sin. Let me go on. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall punish the host of the high ones that are on high and the kings of the earth upon the earth. He's going to get at the big shots. Oh yeah. He's going to get at the wicked big shots. The powerful ones. I wonder if that's already begun. These big wealthy Hollywood men. You've heard what's happening, haven't you? To them. These whiners and what have you. Some of these things have begun to fall already. People are rising up and exposing sins, wickedness. My goodness. Everything's going to be exposed, isn't it, Rita? What does it say in the New Testament? There is nothing hidden that shall not be revealed. Well, let me just finish. I'll go down to the end of this then and we'll finish. It says, and they shall be gathered together as prisoners are gathered in the pit. Who's he talking about? He's talking about the high ones. The high and mighty ones. The big movers and shakers. The big bankers. You know there are people who are really in control of this economy. This world economy. There are some big, big names that you don't even know who they are. That are behind the scenes. That pull the strings. I believe it. They shall be gathered together as prisoners are gathered in the pit. And they shall be shut up in prison. And after many days shall they be visited. Now that visited is not a good term. people say we want a visitation of God. Are you sure you want a visitation of God? Because there's a visitation and then there's a visitation. And there are some visitations of God that are not very pleasant. This is what that visitation is. The visiting in judgment. Then the moon shall be confounded and the sun ashamed. The moon is what? The moon is the church. The sun is supposed to be the light of God. And that's been dimmed also, hasn't it? Amen? And the Lord of hosts shall reign in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem and before his ancients. Gloriously. The ancients are the elders. Mount Zion. Mount Zion. What is Mount Zion? Who is Mount Zion? We are. The people of God. We're Mount Zion. So, chapter 26 or 25 will be the refuge, and chapter 26 is more of what God is going to do for His people. And you know, the reason I wanted to sing that song, the first verse in chapter 26, by the way, and we'll get to that another time, it says, "In that day shall this song be sung." The Lord gave Rita the message on songs this morning, singing. In that day, in what day? In that day of judgment, shall this song... Who's going to sing this song, by the way? It's not going to be those that are in the pit. It's going to be the Mount Zion people.
The remnant that's left.
The remnant that's left. In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. See, our city is not that one that got cracked and rumbled and rolled up with the floodwaters and everything else. No, our city is Mount Zion. We have a strong city. Salvation, amen, will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. God bless you.